Good morning, and welcome to Midway Church of Christ and our Sunday services. Especially, we'd like to welcome you if you're watching us at home. It's a great blessing to have the technology to be able, when we can't meet together in the building, to worship together as a church, even though we're scattered around the county. Especially that's true now with the increase of coronavirus in our area. We pray for the entire congregation, and we pray for the church that it will grow stronger through this pandemic. With all that in mind, I would like to especially thank our team of producers this morning. For Russell McLaughlin, for Kendall McLaughlin, for Jackie Thornton, who have worked so tirelessly for the last 3 or 4 months to be able to bring us the online streaming that we're able to do with our worship service. Not only has our congregation been able to join in, but many of your friends and neighbors. And we'd ask you, if you are watching at home now, that you comment so that we know you're there. And also that you share this worship service with your friends, neighbors, and your family. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we open our services this morning. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We know that every blessing we have comes from you. And you have truly blessed us, Father. We're thankful that we have the privilege of being your children. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity that we have to worship you together this morning. Even though we are separated physically, Lord, we join our hearts and our spirits in worship to you as one body, as your church. And Father, we pray for your church as it worships around the world today, knowing that every congregation faces similar situations to ours. We pray, Father, through all of this, that we will simply trust in you to bring us through it. And Father, we pray for and we look forward to the day that we can all meet together in the building again to worship you as one. And Father, we ask your blessings now upon this service. We ask that you bless Kendall as he leads our singing, that you will bless Joe as he leads us around the Lord's table in a communion service, that you'll bless Tony as he reads scripture to us. And Father, that you would bless Russell as he delivers to us a message from your word. And Father, through all of this, please help us to lean on you, to trust in you, and to grow closer to each other. And Father, keep us safe from this virus, and bless all of those who are working to eliminate it. And Father, keep us faithful to you, and keep us close to each other. And thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for his saving power. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. Hear, O shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. Hear, O Israel. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me.
Oh, I believe it's busted. Yes, please. Thank you, Jackie. Oh, if you could reselect the PowerPoint, that's the problem. Just click on the gray box in the middle. Do you see it? The PowerPoint, no, to your right, down. That one. Thank you. That was the problem. If you could just, yeah, it'll work now. Oops, thanks for the technical difficulties for understanding.
He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
We've now come to the portion of our service where we pause to remember Jesus, to remember the great sacrifice that he made for each of us on Calvary's cross. Jesus instituted this memorial on the night that he was betrayed with his apostles. He told them that the bread that they were about to eat was his body, and the fruit of the vine that they would drink was his blood. For he knew that both of these were about to be sacrificed on Calvary's cruel cross, and that we are to continually remember that great sacrifice that he's made for each of us. Join me now as I offer thanks for the loaf. Dear Lord and Father, we are so thankful to you for each and every blessing you've sent our way, for we realize, dear Heavenly Father, how truly blessed we are. But all other blessings pale in comparison to the blessings that Jesus brought to us by his willingness to come to this earth, set the examples by the life that he lived, but mostly by the death that he would endure on Calvary's cross, that we might have hope of spending eternity with you in heaven. It is our prayer, dear Heavenly Father, that as we partake of this loaf, that we might remember Jesus and the agony that he endured. For it's through his name that we pray. Amen. Now I'll continue with thanks for the cup. Dear Lord and Father, we continue our remembrance of Christ on Calvary's cross with his cup, our symbol of his blood that was shed, that we might have our sins washed away. It is our prayer to our Heavenly Father that as we remember Christ and the great love that he had for us, may we also remember our responsibility to share that love with those we come in contact with. For it's through his name that we pray. Amen. Completely separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, this is also a convenient time for me to thank everyone for their contribution. Those that dropped it off when they picked up the communion supplies or put it in the mail, it is much appreciated and very needful for us to continue to do this work. Would you join me now as I offer thanks? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all the blessings you have sent to us. We're thankful for our families, for the abilities that you've given to us to provide for them. We're thankful for each of those that have contributed and pray that they will be used wisely, that your word may be spread not only here but throughout the entire world. For it's through Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Okay, today's scripture reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load.
It's good to see everyone this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? There was a little boy named Freddie that was out in the backyard with his dad as he was constructing a new storage building in the backyard. And as he was swinging the hammer, as typically might happen, he hit his thumb really hard and he yelled out and he began to suck on his thumb a little bit. And his son Freddie was watching him, and immediately, Freddie disappeared. And then he reappeared and took from his pocket a Batman Band-Aid and handed it to his dad. He wanted to be a part of bearing his father's burden. He saw a problem, and when he had ouches, Band-Aid solved that problem, and his dad had an ouch moment, and he wanted to be part of helping him with that burden. Burdens. We all face times in life where we have burdens. Job burdens, financial burdens, the burden of grief, the burden of relationships that we struggle with. We go through burdens. And we live in a time right now where we have some burdens because of a virus that we're facing. And one of the pictures that the New Testament paints is that as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we face burdens, we are to bear those burdens with each other. One of my favorite movies when I was growing up was a movie called Brian Song, about Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo, based on Gale Sayers' book, I Am Third, which the sentiment of the book was, God is first, my friends and family are second, and I am third. And the movie portrays this relationship between Gail Sayers and Brian Piccolo. They were from very different families. They were from very different backgrounds. They had very different personalities. They were racially different. The color of their skin was different. In fact, back in the 70s, the 60s and 70s when they played in the NFL, they were the first interracial roommates in the history of the NFL. But they seem like unlikely people to be friends, especially at the beginning, but they built a bond with each other that would prove to run so deep in each other's lives that they would, as iron sharpens iron, they would sharpen each other. And they would both face some heavy burdens in their lives, and the other would be there to support them and help them as they tried to carry on. Gail Sayers breaks his leg, and it looks like it's going to be very difficult for him to come back. And Brian Piccolo is his burden bearer. He's behind him. He supports him. He challenges him. He sometimes irritates him, but he gets him through that time of obstacles in his life. Brian Piccolo later has cancer and is dying, and Gail Sayers is such a support to him and his family through that time. And in a memorable moment, as he's receiving a rushing award, Gail Sayers stands up and says publicly, "I love Brian Piccolo." It's a story that portrays burdens being borne by someone else. We can't go through life alone. We need people to support us. And most of us can think about, in our walk with Christ, people that have been there for us, that have bore our burdens. I remember times as a teenager struggling with some things in my life and meeting the youth deacon at the church late one night. He was a college student. He worked with the teenagers, and we prayed together. He gave me advice. He gave me support. He helped me through that time in my life. I remember other times facing some difficult times when God knew the people that I needed in my life to give me the support and to help me bear those burdens. Today in Galatians chapter 6, we look at a burden bearer who has some different responsibilities when it comes to burdens. But what I want us to capture is to look at the three attributes of the burden bearer in Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5. We're to bear each other's burdens. We're to restore those who slip into sin. We are to bear our own load. But there's some attributes, whatever burden we're dealing with, whether it's our own burdens, whether it's somebody else's burdens, whether it's someone who is having spiritual difficulty in their life, these attributes need to be a part of who we are if we're going to be people helpers and help bear the burdens of others. So let's take a look this morning. First of all, gentleness. In verse 1, he says, "Brethren," and the Greek word is anthropos, which means brothers and sisters, mankind, brothers and sisters in Christ. Even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. First of all, there's the picture of an individual who has sinned. And the description is, in this context, is that they're overtaken by sin, or they are caught by sin, but it may not be intentional. It may be something that they become aware of that they didn't know, but they're surprised. They slip into it. The person that gets into that sin, and we all have experienced that in our own lives. Maybe someone came to us and said, I didn't know if you realized you were doing this, but you're approaching this in a way that is very rude. And we're surprised and shocked that we were coming across that way. But when we step back and think about it, we can understand that person's right. And we begin to try to correct that behavior. It's not something that we're doing over and over and over again. We're overtaken by sin. We slip into it. And when someone sees someone get carried into sin, whether it's something that happens just right then, or if it's even a sin that has been going on, we who are spiritual, when you see somebody in sin, you try to help them out. Restore that brother. Romans 14 says, those of us who are strong should bear with the failings of the weak. We're also told that we should snatch one another from the flames. We're instructed in Scripture to pay attention to each other. And when we see somebody in sin, and when things aren't right in our relationship with others, we need to go to that person. Jesus said, if you're taking your gift to the altar and you realize that you've offended someone, you need to lay your gift down and go make things right with that brother. And if you see somebody in sin, you need to go to that person. And if they don't respond, you go back to them. And if they don't respond, then the church becomes involved. And there's a process, because sin is dangerous and we're supposed to keep each other out of sin. But here we see a spiritual person. What kind of person is that? A person that walks in the Spirit based on the context. He's just talked about the fruits of the Spirit. It's a person that isn't perfect, but they're trying to walk in the light. They confess their sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive their sins. It's a person that sees a person's spiritual state in jeopardy, and not that they're perfect, but that they know that they serve a God who gives a perfect gift to imperfect people, a fresh start. They reach out to that brother or sister that's in sin and try to bring them along. They try to restore them. This burden is a burden that needs restoration. Bring them back from where they have drifted to where they need to be with God. The reality is, many times in the church, we're very good about holding up signs that say, be careful, watch out. We're sometimes very good at pointing the finger and saying, you're wrong, that's not right. But what do we do when the person drives off the cliff and they fall into sin? Where are we then? The picture is that we just don't point the fingers and we don't just hold up the signs, but we drive the ambulance on the scene and we help the person that's broken, the person that's struggling, the person that is bearing a spiritual burden in their life. You can't help but think of the story of the Good Samaritan. Here's a man beaten up on the road to Jericho. A priest comes by, a Levi comes by, and they pass by. They don't pay attention. They may have acknowledged that the person was there. They may have even had thoughts about the person that was there. Maybe they recognized things about him, but they don't stop. They don't do anything about the situation. But the Samaritan stops and takes the time to bring this person back to a better state. They take the oil out. They put him on the donkey. He takes him to the inn. There are things done to bring that person back to a better state. That's the picture for us, that we take the time to care. It's said that if you see a bunch of little chicks and one gets a spot of mud on it, the other chicks will come around it and begin to peck on it. And if they peck so much that there's blood, they will actually peck it to death. If they see a spot, they think it's a bug and they begin to peck. That's not the way we're supposed to be in the church. When someone has a sin, we just don't start picking on it and picking on it and picking on it, or do we? Sometimes the reality is we walk away from our wounded. Sometimes we have had the reputation in the past of shooting our own wounded. We don't always deal with people's sin the way we should. We don't all often deal with it the way that Jesus did. Sometimes, instead of gently trying to restore that person, we either isolate ourselves from them or we're critical to them. And sometimes later on, we scratch our heads and wonder why there's people that have not returned to the church. And it's many times, sometimes it's based on the way that they've been treated by us. We're to be people that care. Several years ago in 1984, there was a song that came out, a Christian song, called Wounded Soldier. Steve Green sang the song. Donnie McGuire and Reba, I can't remember her last name, wrote the song. But in the song, it describes a Christian warrior who's wounded. And it describes bringing the oil, bringing the blankets of love, doing the things that are needed to restore that person. And the sentiment of the song is, don't let the wounded warrior die. As a body of believers, we need to be running to those who are in sin, restoring them, not allowing the wounded warrior to die. Paying attention to the fact that we have to keep our guard up and be careful, because we too can fall into sin. We can be tempted to judge them unfairly. We can be tempted to not approach them in a biblical way. We can be trying to do the right thing, but we can be tempted to do it the wrong way. We have to be careful in the way we approach it, recognizing that we are sinners, and we can fall into the same temptations and sins as the person we're trying to help. Paul is trying to say, look, keep yourself humble. But the attribute that we are to do this with is gentleness. Philippians chapter 4 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Jesus himself was gentle. The bruised reed he didn't break, the smoking wick he didn't snuff out. We looked at this last Wednesday night, and if you're not joining us, I hope you do, as we look at the red letter edition, because we're trying to look at Jesus, who is the master of all these attributes. And it says, always be prepared, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, always be prepared to give an answer for the reasons for the hope that you have. For anyone who asks you for the reasons or the hope you have, with gentleness and respect. Gentleness. We are to be people who are meek, power under control, people who are gentle. If the boys came to me when they were younger, there may be times where I did something quick and it might have caused a little initial pain, but I knew that that pain would be less than the pain if I did it another way. So they come and they ask, Daddy, can you take the Band-Aid off? Sometimes we'll just take the Band-Aid and we'll rip it off because that's the best way to get it off. If you take your time, it's slow pain. If you rip it off, it's quick pain. But if they came to me with a splinter, I wouldn't try just to rip it out. I would take my time with the tweezers. I would get the light. I would try to keep them calm as I tried to get that splinter out. Sometimes the situation may determine how we approach it. Paul would often say, do you want me to come to you with love or with a whip? There's church discipline, which has to be firm and uncompromising. And there's also gentleness. They have to be balanced out. In 1 Corinthians, he says, there's a sinner among you. When you're gathered together, hand them over to Satan, 1 Corinthians 5. Then in 2 Corinthians, he writes them back and says, you know the guy that you handed over to Satan, he's repented. Now you need to accept him back. Always having that spirit, the bruised reed you don't break, the smoking wick you don't snuff out. When we see people that are wounded warriors, we need to make sure we drive the ambulance up and restore them. That's what Jesus calls us to. And as a burden bearer, we do that with gentleness. Secondly, he says, love. The attribute is love. Share others' burdens with love. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians, he's talking about the Mosaic law, not being bound by those things, but Jesus set us free from that. And now he talks about the law of Christ, which are the principles of the teachings of Jesus. And here he's signifying that bear one another's burdens and you fulfill the law of Christ, which in essence was to love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said, in John 13, 34 and 35, love one another as I've loved you, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Don't love your neighbor as yourself anymore. Love one another as I have loved you. And he says that in the shadow of him sitting down and washing the disciples' feet. They all had a burden. They had dirty feet. Jesus takes the towel, girds himself, goes around the table, washes their feet and says, as I have washed your feet, you need to wash one another's feet. Serve each other. That's part of bearing burdens. Did you know that the phrase one another is used over right at 100 times in the New Testament? 59 of those times, some of the things being repeated, are specific commands. Greet one another. Pray for one another. Bear each other's burdens. Love one another is repeated 16 times. We have these mutual responsibilities to each other. And one of those is to bear the burdens of others. And there's two words for burden in this passage. One is a heavy load. It's like a crate on a ship that you can't move by yourself, but if others get involved, they can help you. The other idea is an animal that is weighed down like a donkey with weight. And the weight is so heavy, it's beginning to lose its ability to bear the load. And so you lighten the load to help the animal be able to bear the right amount of weight. As burden bearers, we come and we alleviate the weight. Another picture of the word is a tree that's fallen on a path. And if I was walking down the path, I couldn't move it by myself, unless I had a chainsaw, but I couldn't move it by myself. But if someone else was with me, we could move it. We are to bear the burdens of others, whatever that is. We can't pick and choose what those burdens are. I've watched this congregation bear burdens. When Hurricane Harvey came, we bore the burdens of others. When we suffered through the school shooting not long after Hurricane Harvey, I saw people in this community bear the burdens of others. And as a church family, we have to bear burdens, but we don't get to pick and choose. When someone has lost a loved one, we bear that burden. When someone has lost a job, we bear that burden. He's not saying you, he's saying y'all. All of you, be a part of bearing that burden. We do it through prayer. We do it through encouragement. We do it through phone calls. Right now we have a virus that's affecting us and our ability to meet together. So we find other ways to encourage other people, especially when we know someone is burdened. Bear each other's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Do it in love. Love is, agape love is, seeking the highest good of the other. And then he says, humility. Bear burdens with humility. If anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one must bear his own load. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector comes to mind. He says, thank you for making that I am not like that tax collector back there. He's comparing himself to someone else and thinking that he is, can't touch this, spiritually hot stuff. If you get to thinking that you're better than a lot of everybody else, take heed lest you fall. The message of the New Testament is, be humble or you will stumble. If you exalt yourself, God will bring you down. If you humble yourself, God will raise you up. It will happen every time. You start getting too big for your britches, and you're going to find yourself on your back looking up. God has said, I will humble those who exalt themselves, and I will exalt those who humble themselves. Humility is important. Gentleness, humility, love, those are things we have to build and work on in our lives. And all those things are significant to us as we try to be burden bearers. Don't be prideful. Think of yourself and measure up to the example of Jesus in the teachings of the Bible. This is our plumb line. This is what we measure ourselves by. Not comparing myself to someone else, but comparing myself to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. Because He was perfect in gentleness. He was perfect in His love. He was perfect in humility that took Him to the cross. Jesus bore our burdens on Calvary. We need to bear others' burdens, but we have to be careful that we don't become prideful. Jim McGuigan used to say he would stand out in the back as people were leaving the building and they would tell him what a great job he did on his sermon. And he said, look, my chest is a powder keg and you're waving a match in front of it. He realized he had to be careful not to begin to take too much pride in himself, but to be humble. We have to develop humility. And we do it best when we follow Jesus' example. Be humble or you will stumble. And then he says, for each of us has to bear his own load. It's a different word. It's not a heavy crate that you can't move. It's not tons and tons of weight that are on an animal where he can't go up a hill. The word here is the word that was often used for a lighter load, a load that could be handled by you, a backpack, something that you could carry. The picture is a soldier carrying his backpack, which leads to some thinking about the burdens that we bear. Yes, there are some burdens that we can bear alone. But also, if you picture a soldier, what does he have in his backpack? The essentials. Sleeping bag, coffee cup, a couple of candy. No, the essentials, right? The things that he has to have to survive. What are our essentials? What are the things that we need to bear? You could say the burden of prayer, the burden of loving others, the burden of reading your Bible, the burden. And you say, well, that's not supposed to be a burden. Yeah, I understand that. In fact, Jesus' words are powerful in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. There you go. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Same word. Who gives us the essentials? Jesus. What kind of stuff does He want us to do? be righteous, love others, know the truth, contend for the faith, wash other people's feet, share the gospel with other people. That's the burden that we should have. Paul says, look, I got this and this and this and this going on, and with all that stuff going on that's facing me, the burdens that I'm facing trying to be a minister of the gospel, I have this concern for the churches. He was burdened. Some of those burdens he could share, and he expressed that. Some of those burdens he could shoulder. What kind of burden bearer are you? And do you bear burdens the right way? Each of these attributes are so important. Gentleness. My mentor, who I did my pulpit internship under, Robert Oglesby, who preached in Richardson, Texas for many years and worked with him for a while. I called him up a few weeks ago, and in our conversation he said, you know, one of the things I'm focusing on, he has a foundation, he trains ministers, and they come and spend time with him. And he said, one thing I've discovered is I've seen the great need to teach and train those who minister to be gentle, to help people with a spirit of gentleness. They will often say, I'm gentle, but they're not. That's interesting. Someone has spent all those years in ministry. The thing he sees at the end of the line is, we need to be more gentle. We haven't done the job of letting our gentleness be evident to all. When people come around us and leave this building, it should be evident this is a place full of people with gentle spirits, with compassion and care and Christ-likeness. They should leave and feel this is a place of love. If they spent time watching us when nobody's noticing, would they think that we had love in our hearts or hate in our hearts? And these people are humble. Paul puts this forth and he tells us, follow me as I follow Christ. If you want to have a strong community of believers, be burden bearers with these attributes. Louis Douglas, who was an author of the Robe, when he was in boarding school, he lived upstairs, and every day he went to school, he would go by a neighbor's house who was an ex-music teacher who was confined to a wheelchair, and they had this ritual. He would go up to the teacher's door. He was older, but he did it every day. Lloyd Douglas would knock on his door and say, is it a good day? And the man would open the door in his wheelchair and say, this is a good day. And he would take a middle C tuning fork and he would strike his chair and he would say, this is middle C. The person who sings across the hall is out of tune. And the piano of the person next door is off key. But this is middle C. Jesus stands in the middle of time and wants us to tune our lives to Him. And if we tune our lives to Him, we will display these attributes: gentleness, love, and humility. May we follow Christ in being Christ-like. Thank you for joining us today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word, the simplicity of your word, and we all know that we need to become gentler and more loving and serve you with more humility. We pray that you will forgive us of our sins. We pray that you will be with our church family and our community, especially with the spike of the COVID virus. We pray that you'll bless those that are having to be quarantined because they have the virus or they've been exposed to the virus. May you be with our leaders. May you be with the leaders of this church. May you help us to shepherd the flock in a right way. We pray, Father, that we will boldly live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.